Recording in progress.
Okay, good evening. Welcome back to Melachim Aleph. Tonight we're learning Perek Vav, and we're going to be talking. Last week we learned about the preparations for the building of the Beis HaMikdash with Hiram and the different types of wood and the workers and all those things. And this week we're going to start the actual construction of the Beis HaMikdash and discuss some of the plans and how things look. Okay. So says the Navi. Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi b'shmonim shana ve'arba me'ot shana letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. 480 years after b'nei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, b'shana ha'raviyis, b'chodesh ziv u'achodesh ha'sheni, limloch shlomo al Yisrael, v'yivin abayis la'ashem. So we are 4 years into Shlomo's reign. I think Mefarshim point out, Bashana Harviyas is going back, qualifying Alimloch Shlomo Al Yisrael. So 4 years into Shlomo's reign. And we're in the second month of the year. The year, of course, counted from Nisan. So Iyar is the second month of the year. We're in Chodesh Iyar, which is the month that we find ourselves in currently. And it's referred to as Chodesh Ziv. Why is it referred to as Chodesh Ziv? Because Ziv means the shine, right? Or the glow, like the Ziv Ashchina, the shine or the glow. And here, this is when things begin to sprout, right? When the trees begin to sprout, when the plants begin to sprout. So that's what's happening. So that's why it's referred to as Chodesh Ziv. By even Abayis LaHashem, and he built the house. He built the Beis HaMikdash. Now again, building here doesn't mean he completed the building. It means he started the building. He started the building in Iyar, the fourth year of his reign, 480 years after they came out of Mitzrayim, he started building the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why do we have to know when it happened? The years?
You could say it started the fourth year of his reign. Right?
Meaning, you'll do the math. You'll do the math to figure out that it was 480 years after. Good question. I don't know.
Why not? You just told you. Okay. 4 years into.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron's asking if you say 4 years into Shlomo's reign, so I'm sure there's other places where we can do the math and figure out that it was 480 years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Why is that important? Good question. I'm not sure. I didn't see anything. I mean, I didn't look at all the Mefarshim, so I'm not sure, but I didn't see anything. Okay, now we be, yeah.
Rabbi,
yes, love Rabbi Arshul.
Exactly 480 years after the temple.
And when the second Beis HaMikdash. Aha.
So yes, the Mitzrayim, 480, first Beis HaMikdash.
And then 480 from the first Beis HaMikdash to the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, great. Abar Benel, there we go. Baruch Hashem for art school. Okay, good. Excellent. Good. Okay, good. I have the art school this week, actually. I just didn't see that. Okay. Pasuk Beis v'habayis asher bono hamelech Shlomo l'Hashem. So this house that Shlomo built for Hashem, shishim ama arko. It was 60 amos long, v'ethrim rochbo, and it was 20 amos wide, u'shloshim ama komasa, and it was 30 amos high. Okay. Now, luckily, I found in one of my svarim, a diagram. Now, it's not so big. You're not going to be able to see it so well. But hopefully, I'll just be able to show you something. Really, we need like a smart board here. You know, that would really be good. We could show you exactly what's going on. Okay. Huh? All right, we need someone to donate a smart board downstairs. So we'll work on that next. Okay, so this, if you look here, I know it's small, sorry. But if you look at the purple area, okay, so this is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, this little square at the back, so to speak, of this purple building. It wasn't actually purple. Okay, this just in the diagram, it's purple. Okay, and if you want to look at the directions, so this is west, right? North, south, west, and east. So this is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, the back of this purple building. This is all a diagram of the Beis HaMikdash. What was in the Kodesh HaKadosh? That was where the Aron was. Just the Aron and the Kruvim. You know, the Aron and the Kruvim. That was the Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay, then in front of, you know, so to speak, or a little bit east of the Kodesh HaKodashim, we have what's called either the Kodesh or the Heichal. Okay, the Heichal. That was the area that was immediately east of the Kodesh HaKodashim. In the Heichal, you had the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbech haketores, right, the mizbech hazahav. So those were all in the Heichal. Okay. Then you had an area that was called the ulam, okay, which is this long, narrow strip here in front of the Heichal. And then you have the steps leading out to the, you know, here's the chatzer. And here you have the Mizbeach HaChitzon. This was the Mizbeach that they brought all the Karbanos on. This was the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The inner Mizbeach was only for the Ketores. The outer Mizbeach was for the Karbanos. And then you have the other steps. And then you have the Ezras Noshim over here. Here's the Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Kohanim. Okay. So those are the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So here, even though the Pasuk says the Habayis, what are we referring to? Which part of the Bayis are we talking about? When it says that it's 60 amos long and 20 amos wide, 30 amos high, so Rashi points out that this is the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, okay, which is these two areas. That's it. Just these two areas, 60 amos long, 20 amos wide, and 30 amos high, okay? It's interesting, Rashi refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim here as the Dvir, which we'll see a little bit later. That's actually how the Pasuk refers to it, as the Dvir. The Dvir is also used in one other context, which we'll see. But this is the area that we're talking about. And the and of this area, 60 amos, so the Heichal, the Radak says the Heichal was 40 and the Dvir was 20. Right? So the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amos long, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a square, it was 20 by 20, and the Heichal was 40 by 20. So that was a much longer, and it was double the length, and it was rectangular. By the way, all these shiurim, except for the height, are double that of the Mishkan. Right? The Mishkan was much smaller. These are double the shiurim of the Mishkan. Okay, the Radak also points out that if you look in Divrei Hayamim, it says that it was 120 amos high, and here we're saying it's 30 amos high. So how do we justify it? So he says basically that there were things that we're here, we're talking about from the ground level until the ceiling was 30 amos. There were things above this area. There were other stories. You know, this was a multi-story building, the Beis HaMikdash, and there were other floors above the Heichal, and that's what accounted for the other 90 amos. I mean, this was a very high building. You think about it. Are you talking about 120 amos, right? Let's assume each am is approximately, let's say, 2 feet, 240 feet. That's a tall building, right? That's a pretty tall building. The Beis HaMikdash was very tall. Okay? Fine. This length is going from east to west. And now, Pasuk Gimel, Teha'ulam al pnei heichal abayis esrim ama arko al pnei rochav abayis esr bo ama rochbo al pnei abayis. So the ulam, which again is this longer, narrower area in front of the Heichal, okay, that's al pnei haheichal, Heichal Abayis, that's in front of, to the east of the Heichal Abayis, and it's esrim ama arko al pnei rochav habayis, so it's 20 amos length over on the face of the width of the bayis. So if you look, right now, length and width are being switched here. And the Mefarshim all point out that the length is always the longer one. The longer one is the length and the shorter one is the width. It doesn't matter if it's east, west, or north, south. That doesn't matter. So that's why it says that the length, the ulam was longer. The length of the ulam was adjacent to the width of the Heichal, right? So you have this 20 amos here of the Heichal. And then you have the ulam, which was 20 amos going this way, right? And then Esther ba'ama rochba apnei abayis. But the width of the ulam was more narrow. It was only 10 amos. Right? The width was only 10 amos. The length was 20 amos. Okay. Pasuk dal vayas labayis kalonei shkufim atumim. Very interesting. So when they made the when Shlomo constructed the Beis HaMikdash, so he made it with windows. Now these windows are, the way Arthur translates this, is that they were narrowing windows. Okay, shkufim atumim. Atumim literally means closed. And shkufim means that they were see-through. So what does that mean? So Pashupshat, the Mitzudas of it says, is that there was some sort of glass, you know, in the window. It wasn't just a hollow space, like many windows were in those days. There was some sort of covering to the window, like some sort of a glass to the window. But Rashi and the Radak and the Mefarshim quote Chazal, who say that these windows were actually different than other windows. So other windows, if they're designed to allow light into the room, so they might be narrower at the outside. Imagine you have a thick wall. We have kind of thin walls these days, and we don't, you know, our windows are just flush, and we don't really have different widths of the window. But imagine you have a thick wall, okay, and you wanna get as much light into the room as possible. So the way they used to design the windows were that the outside was whatever measurement the outside was, and then on the inside it would kind of open up and become wider on the inside, so that the light from the outdoors would spread more inside the room, would illuminate the room. The light would spread, you know, refract, I guess, and spread inside the room. So these windows were created in the opposite way. They were built the opposite way. They were narrow on the inside and they were wider on the outside. Why was that? So this also Chazal talk about that it's based on the Gemara, it's based on Chazal, that the Beis HaMikdash was not illuminated by outdoor light. It was not illuminated by outdoor light. It was illuminated by spiritual light. And therefore, it didn't need the light from the outside. And in fact, the world outside needed the spiritual light from inside the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Beis HaMikdash's windows were created in that way. And that's why the Art Scroll translates it as narrowing, meaning narrowing, going in, narrowing. Right, from the outside in, they were narrowing. Okay. now the Pesukim now continue with the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now this is very interesting. Vayiven al kir habayis yotzias saviv. So he built around the wall of the bayis, and again the bayis here we're referring to the Heichal and the Dvir, the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, around the wall of this section of this bayis. He built Yatsiya. Now, what's Yatsiya? Yatsiya, they translate here as an annex. Okay, this was basically an additional area outside the wall of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Saviv Eskiros Habayis, I'm sorry, Yatsiya Saviv Eskiros Habayis Saviv LaHeichal VeLaDvir. It was around the walls of the Heichal and the Dvir. Vayas Tzela'os Saviv. And he made, literally, they translated here as cells all around the on three sides, all around the bayis. Now, if you look at, if you have the art scroll, I'm happy to be using it because it was easier for these kind of psukim. But if you look at the art scroll, they have a very nice diagram that explains what's going on here. But basically, surrounding, if you look at this diagram, you don't have the art scroll in front of you. So if you look at this diagram, you'll see that surrounding the Heichal and the Dvir were chambers, basically. These were chambers. And we'll see that there were actually multiple stories to these chambers, because again, this was a relatively high building. But there were these chambers that were outside, cells, chambers, whatever you want to call it. This is referred to as the Yatsiya, the annex. And these were rooms that were used for different things, whether it's storage or other types of, avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. And they went around the, what we call the bayis, the Heichal and the Dvir. Okay, Pasuk Vav. So the lower level of this annex was a width of 5 amos, and the middle level had a width of 6 amos, and the upper level had a width of 7 amos, rochba, right, 7 amos. Why? Kimigroos nosan labayis saviv. And again, the way this is translated is that he had provided recesses around the outside of the wall of the temple, levilti achos bikiros habayis, in order not to penetrate the walls of the temple. So this was constructed in a way where the where each level would be supported without the beams actually protruding into the wall. And you'll see the wall is thicker at the bottom, thinner on top, and narrower on top. And this was the way that he constructed it to make it sturdier and to make sure that nothing would penetrate these walls. There were no holes that were bored into these walls. Okay.
So what was the size?
Sorry?
The size. It doesn't tell you the size.
The size of what?
The size of the rope.
Well, again, the width of...
That's all it gives you. It's the width.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you
the length.
The length of the height.
Yeah. No, correct. It doesn't tell you that. I don't know. I think in the note here, I saw the note in the art school note here, but I think they explain that it's not 100% clear how many cells, like how many rooms were in this annex. It's clear that it's three levels, but it's not clear how many on each side. They quote the Mishnah and Midos that in the second Beis HaMikdash, right? In the second Beis HaMikdash, there were 15 cells on each side along the north and the south, right? Five on each level, five times three is 15. And along the west side, there were eight. Three on the first and the second levels, and two on the top level. That's Rashi quotes that here. That's based on the Mishnah in Midos. Okay. So Evan Shalema Masa Nivne. So the pasuk says that when the Beis HaMikdash was built, it was built of complete quarried stones. Now we saw an allusion to this last week that no instruments, no implements, metal implements were being used at the place, at the construction site of the Beis HaMikdash. Everything was hewn at the site of the quarry, right? And that was even talking about the foundation stones of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we learned about last week. And here, the actual stones the same way. U'makavos v'hagarzen kol kalivarza lo nishma baboyis b'hibonoso. And hammers, chisels, iron utensils, none of these were heard in the Beis HaMikdash, when it was being built. So everything was, this was all being done prefab, right, exactly, at the place of the quarry. Now here also, the note points out that really the Isser in the Torah is specifically by the Mizbeach, right, when building the Mizbeach out of Avanim, well, we were not allowed to use any type of, metal instrument, but the Mishnah seems to assume that, or I'm sorry, the Mefarshim seem to assume that this is also true when it comes to these stones as well. Right? So all the stones of the Beis HaMikdash were like this. Okay. Continues the Navi, Pasuk Zayin. Sorry, we just read Zayin Ches. Pesach Hatzela Tichona El Kesef Habayis Hayimonis. So the entrance to the central, okay, which is ground level, cell, was at the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the entrance was on the south side. And Pasuk says, Uvelulim Yalu ala Tichona. And they had some sort of a winding staircase that would go up from the ground level to the middle level. Umina Tichona el Hashalishim. And from the middle level to the third level. Okay, so the entrance was in the middle, the center of these chambers on the outside. They would enter through the outside wall. They're not going in through the Kodesh and through the Kodesh HaKadoshim, obviously. They're going in through the outside wall. You get in on the ground level towards the middle. All these rooms connected with each other, so you can walk from there to any of the other rooms on that floor. And if you wanted to get up to another floor, there was a winding staircase, and they would climb up to the middle floor. From there, they can go up to the top floor. No escalator or elevator, but they had a staircase to get up. So he built the house and he completed it. Now again, this doesn't mean that he completed the entire thing. We're referring specifically to this section of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he made the ceiling, right? Because now first he built the walls. And he made the ceiling out of what they translate here as decorative wooden planks. under cedar planks. Okay, so it was decorative planks under cedar planks, a double layer here. And Vayiven es hayotzia al kol habayis chamesh amos komoso, vayechos es habayis ba'atzei arozim. And he built the annex, which was all around this bayis, five amos, the height of five amos. Okay, so each one was five amos high. Here we have the height, and he also covered this all with cedar wood. Okay, I think in the footnotes, I believe they explain that the cedar wood, the cedar is very tall, so therefore he built the walls from cedar because they were very tall, and the flooring he built with other types of wood because it was stronger. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayhi Devar Hashem al Shlomo le'mor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Shlomo, saying, this is a kind of a commercial interruption here. Habayis hazeh asher atav boneh. This house that you are building, im teilech b'chukosai, yes, mishpatai ta'aseh, reminiscent of this past week's parsha, but if you're going to follow my statutes, and you're going to do my mitzvos. V'shamart es kol mitzvos sai l'leches bohem. V'akimosi es devari itoch asher dibarti el David avicha. And I will uphold that which I spoke to David your father. Right? Meaning that essentially as we're building this bayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just interrupting here and saying, listen, as you're focusing on the physical building of this bayis, recognize this is not just the physical structure. Right? This is the spiritual structure. So if you uphold the spiritual aspect of this structure, it'll remain. And if not, it's not going to. Right? You have to. This is a normally you build a house, and as long as it's structurally sound, you feel like you're good to go. Unless there's some sort of natural disaster, chas v'shalom, right? But otherwise, it's going to last me. But here, because Baruch Hu was saying that what's going to keep this house going is not necessarily just the structure and the physical strength of the. Of the structure, but it's the spiritual component also. Sorry? Did he have nevuah? Presumably. So it sounds like, right?
Is this the first time he's speaking, Sasha?
Right. That's a good point. That is a good point.
But he gave him wisdom.
Oh, take a look at the Radak. So the Radak says that no, it wasn't. He didn't get this nevuah. Bolo hanavi b'shem Hashem. The navi came and told him this, and he gave him this message. Who was the navi? Achya Shilom. Quotes from the Seder Olam. So he was not a navi. He didn't get a nevuah here. This was Achya Shilom. He was the navi who was sharing this message with Shlomo. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel, another pasuk that also is reminiscent of something we read in the Torah. V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and I will dwell among b'nei Yisrael. Right, like the pasuk says, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, right, build the beis hamikdash, and I will dwell among b'nei Yisrael. V'lo ezov es dami Yisrael, and I will not abandon my nation, Klal Yisrael. I will not abandon them. Okay, good. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Now we get back to the construction of the actual Beis HaMikdash here. Vayiven Shlomo es habayis vayichalehu, and Shlomo built the bayis and he finished it. And again, here now we focus on the walls and the floor and what everything was made out of. Vayiven es kiros habayis mibayisa bitzalos harozim mikarka habayis al kiros Hasipun. So he built the walls of the Beis HaMikdash on the inside with cedar boards from the floor to the ceiling. He overlaid it with wood on the inside. Now, this is important, as they point out, because he's going to line the entire inside with gold, and you can't attach gold to stone. So since the walls were stone, he had to put wood panels on the inside, and then he would attach the gold to the wood. And Tipa ate me by fine by Yitzafas Karka by Spitzalos Baroshim, and he built the he overlaid the floor with cypress. Okay, so this also they point out that's what I mentioned before. It's really going on this pasuk that the cypress is stronger. Cypress was a shorter, stronger type of tree. The cedar was the taller tree, so that's why the walls were made from the cedar planks. And the cypress is a smaller tree, but is stronger, and that's why he used that for the floor. Right? There was a chachma to this as well. By even as estrim ama miar kisei abayis b'tzalos arozim, so he built this overlay for the 20 amos at the rear of the Beis Hamikdash of cedar boards. Mina karka ara kiros, from the floor to the beams. By even lo mibayis l'dvir l'kodesh hakadoshim, and he prepared this area inside the partition to be the kodesh hakadoshim. Now here, dvir, even though generally dvir is a reference to the kodesh hakadoshim, here it's clear that we're referring to the paroches, to the partition that separated the kodesh hakadoshim from the hecha, from the rest of that bayis. The arboim ba'ama hoya habayis. And the bias here was 40 amos long, which is specifically referring to the heichal. Right, the heichal was 40 amos long. That's what we're talking about. There's a beautiful thought here, which they quote on the bottom. Where is it on this pasuk? Lifnoi. So they quote from the Yalkut Shimoni that lifnoi also means lifanai, in front of me, or to turn to me. Why? So the Yalkut Shimoni says, because wherever you daven in the world, you're always facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's why it says here that v'arboim ba'ama hoya habayis v'ahechal lifnoi, that it was in front of, the hechal was in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're always facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In fact, if you go to the Kotel, and you might see some people davening, not directly to the wall, but at a diagonal. Right? You might see some people like that. The reason why the davening at a diagonal is because that's where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. Right? So that's why some people, when they daven at the coastal, they don't daven straight. They daven at an angle towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. To the left. Yeah, to the left. That's where, if you go through the tunnel tours, you know, you see that place where they say this is across from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. The Erez al Abayis, this is Pasuk Yud Ches. The Erez al Abayis Penima Miklaat Pikaim Uviturei Tzitzim Hakol Erez Ein Even Nira. So the cedar upon the bayis upon the Beis Hamikdash on the inside was decorated with a network. I'm reading the Art Scroll translation here, with a design of knobs and blossoming flowers. Everything was covered with cedar wood. The stone was not visible. Right. So even though the walls were made of stone. But he wanted this covered and designed in a beautiful way so that the stone would not be visible. Pasuk Yutes Udvir Besoch Habayis Mipnima Heichin, and he prepared the dvir from inside the bayis. Okay, the inside of the bayis. So this is referring to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right, that's where the dvir is. He prepared it there. L'siten Shom Es Aron Bris Hashem, to place the Aron of Hashem there. Now it's referred to as the Dvir, right? It's referred to as the Dvir. And I think I saw somewhere here that one of the reasons why it's referred to as the Dvir is because that's where the Dvar Hashem emanated from. And the Dvir was the place of the Aron, and that's where the Dvar Hashem emanated from. That's why they called it the Dvir. And the language of Heichin is also interesting here. What does it say? That he prepared. Udvir b'soch habayis mipnima Heichin. He prepared it. What do you mean he prepared it? What does that mean? So he quotes, the Radak quotes quotes Chazal from the Seder Olam that it says Heichin because he realized that eventually the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. Right? He knew that eventually the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. How he knew that, we don't know exactly. Maybe he had Ruach HaKodesh, which is a drop under Nevuah, so to speak. So maybe he had Ruach HaKodesh. And he actually created a hiding spot for the Aron, where the Aron could be hidden beneath the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with apparently a whole system of tunnels and things like that. I don't think this has been found. And I think that maybe this is what, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Lahavdil, you know, Indiana Jones and the movies and things like that. You know, maybe that's, you know, they're talking about these things. But I don't think this was ever found, at least not that I know of. I don't know. But there's some sort of a network of hidden tunnels and areas underneath the Beis HaMikdash that the Aron could quickly be hidden. It was like some sort of a big stone which could be moved, and the Aron could be hidden there and covered back up, and that way it would be the Aron would be saved. That's what the Radak quotes from the Seder Olam. Fascinating, which is implied in the words Heichin that he prepared. What's he preparing for? He's preparing for the ultimate destruction, which he foresaw would happen. That behind the dvir, here the dvir was referring to the partition. Behind the partition was the area of 20 by 20. This was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, 20 amos in length, 20 amos in width, and also 20 amos in height. The Esrim Amakobasa was an Amosha cube. That's what the Kodesh HaKadoshim looked like. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim also is 10 amos shorter than the Heicha. Right, so the Heicha we said was 30 amos tall. So this dipped down 10 amos. So it was 20 by 20 by 20. Vayitzapeyu zahav sagur vayitzaf mizbeach ores. And he overlaid this partition with fine gold, and he also overlaid mizbeach with cedar wood. Vayitzaf Shlomo es habayis mipnima zahav sagur. Shlomo then overlaid the entire inside of the bias with gold, like we spoke about. And it was fine gold. Zahav Sagur was fine gold. Vayaber biratukos zahav lifnei hadvir. And he drew golden chains in front of the partition. And again, here again, dvir sometimes being used as the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, sometimes being used as the partition between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal. Vayitzapeu zahav, and he overlaid it with gold. Ve'eskol habayis tzifa zahav, and he overlaid the entire bayis with zahav, with gold. Atom kol habayis, the entire bayis was completely overlaid with gold. V'chol ha-mizbeach asher la'dvir tzifa zahav, and again, the entire mizbeach that stood opposite the entrance to the dvir, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is referring to what we call the mizbeach ha-zahav, where the ketores was brought, was also completely overlaid with gold. It was wood, but it was overlaid with gold.
Was all this done by Shlomo by his own design, as opposed to the Mishkan that's laid out exactly everything in the Torah specifications,
right?
The walls, it's just,
right, right.
It sounds like he's doing it on his own. Is that correct?
Okay, so there's a pasuk in, I believe it's in Divrei Hayomim. And the Gemara actually talks about this in several places. But the pasuk, I don't remember the pasuk offhand. I'm sure one of the mafarshim here mentions it. But the pasuk basically says that everything had to be done with some sort of a divine plan. So Shlomo did not make any of this up. This was all a divine plan. We don't find that it was communicated. We don't find exactly where it's communicated. But it's got to be that it was, you know, that's clear in this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, based on Chazal, that it's clear that this was from Hashem. This was divine. You know, everything, every nuance. In fact, I think it comes up, if I'm not mistaken, in Sukkah, the Gemara talks about, when the Gemara talks about Mechitza, he actually did it in Smichas Chaver when we talked about Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, because if you remember, they built the balcony. How could they build it? And the Gemara asks, how were they allowed to build it? Right? The Beis HaMikdash had to be constructed just so. So it must be that they built it. That was also part of the divine, you know, part of the divine plan. So everything was planned out and was communicated by the Navi to Shlomo.
Didn't we know it was twice as big as the Mishkan? Didn't we learn something like that? That it's twice as big as the Mishkan?
Well, I mentioned that tonight, but I don't know where it says that.
Thing, like
Rabbi Arthro? Yeah.
So the architectural plans for the Beis HaMikdash were provided to Shlomo by David HaMelech following the instructions you received from the prophets God and Nasa.
There you go.
The general plan of the temple was similar to that of the Mishkan, although it was,
but it was double, right?
In many respects.
Right. Okay, so there you have it. So it came from the Navi, from the Neviim, I should say.
It mentions Divrei Yamim.
So it came from God and Nathan, the two Neviim at the time, communicated to David, who communicated it to Shlomo, which is interesting also, because David wasn't the one who was building the Beis HaMikdash. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still, you know, wanted him to be involved. Right? So he was involved, and he got the plans, and he passed the plans on to Shlomo. I think the construction was very similar. There were differences. I think the Gemara says there were five major differences between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. But I think in terms of the outside construction, I think it was very similar. I think so. I don't remember exactly. I don't know. Okay. Fine. You know what? So let's, it's already 9:44. So let's stop now. And then, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, we start talking about the Kruvim. So, Mr. Shem, we'll talk next week a little bit about how the Kruvim were created. And we will, we'll take it from there. Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you for coming. Good night, Aaron.